It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 286. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please remember to visit the main website at miketechshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for future show topics, you can email me. My address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I have three great messages for the show tonight. One comment and two questions. My voicemail number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. I have the wiki, mtswiki.com, where you can get all the information about my studio, the software, hardware I'm using, but more important, links to all of the past shows and my appearances on Computer America. So if you want to get caught up, there's some great content for the archives of covering almost any topic you could ever think of. Tonight's show, I have lots of email. I have a new little piece of hardware I added as a backup to my current setup here in the studio that I'm going to talk about, a portable digital recorder, and just great tips from all of you and some great questions that's going to lead into some really good discussions that I hope will help you out. So sit back and relax. And before we get started, for your backup needs, you have to look no further than Shadow Protect. As a matter of fact, this Saturday, I am going to a client and I am taking away Backup Exec and putting Shadow Protect on, had them purchase the small business server of Shadow Protect for their server because we've been having tons of problems with the backup and going to tape. So had them get a few external hard drives, and I'm setting that up, and it's going to be a piece of cake, and then they can just rotate their external drives. They're going to be now in a better position for disaster recovery because you can do a bare metal recovery with Shadow Protect. It works with Windows 2000, XP, Vista, Windows 7 for the desktop editions, and then the server editions for 2003, 2008, whether it's regular server or small business server, 32-bit or 64-bit. It is the ultimate software, and you can get a free trial for 30 days by going to storagecraft.com/MikeTechShow. And then I guarantee you, you'll be back to purchase it because it is the best backup software I have ever used. You've heard me talk about GoToMeeting for years, and they are still a sponsor, which is awesome. They have the best online meeting service that you can possibly have. It's so easy to start a meeting. It just takes seconds. Everybody can go to GoToMeeting.com, and they can join the meeting. You have voice over IP support. You can change presenters within the presentation. Everybody can see your screen on their desktop. It's simple to use. You have incredible features for highlighting and drawing. You can run presentations. Once you use it, you'll never think of anything else for holding a meeting. You can get a 30-day free trial, but you have to visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Just go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. I received a couple emails, and when I first received this, I thought it was a scam. And then I started reading about this trick, and I said, okay, it must be legit. And this is to activate God mode on Windows 7. And I first got an email from David, and then I got an email from Scott about the same hack. It is so simple, And I will have the hack in the show notes. What you do, you go to the root drive of C and you will open up, you create a folder with this long characters that you can, you know, I'll have it in the show notes. And then it turns on what they call God mode, which is just shortcuts to all the control panels and some other features. You have to try it. Now, be careful. It supposedly works with Vista, but I heard it crashes Vista 64-bit. Now, I can tell you that the God mode, I guess, Easter egg or hack or whatever you want to call it, in Windows 7, it does work for 64-bit Windows 7. So give it a try, and it won't hurt anything. And you can see maybe you'll like that folder with the access to all those utilities. Now, this was sent in by Barbara a couple weeks ago. It's a link to backing up your cloud files to another cloud service, and it's called Backupify, Backupify. And I have not tried it. And basically, you can back up your Gmail, Google Docs, Flickr, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever you have and you're doing online. And you can back up all of that online files to another online service. So a cool idea. I have not tried it. And I think it's a paid service, and you can get it for free if you sign up before the end of this month. So I recommend that you go there and try it out. And it's great. If you're not backing up any of your online items, hey, it's a way to do that. This is from Yitz, and he says, in regards to eFax, you can also receive your faxes as a PDF as well. You know, they must have change something, because I couldn't do that before. And as far as sending faxes for free, you can send 2 free per day from myfax.com/free. So here we have a service that someone asked for, how can I send and receive faxes? And my answer was, well, you can always receive them free at eFax, but you can't send them for free. Well, here at myfax.com, you can send a couple faxes per day for free. I mean, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't send more than 1 fax a month, or maybe 2. So that might be something to check out. Barb says faxzero.com is also free, so that's great. This is Kevin. He says he has some independent music, and he sent me a link, and I have not had a chance to listen. And I'm going to check out that link. Thank you, Kevin. And if I like that, I will include it in the show. This is from Max. Mike, I have a topic for a show, service contracts and retainers. I have been serving residential computers, but now have been getting calls for business computers. This has led to a couple of local hotels who would like to have service contracts set up around the first of the year. What I'm trying to figure out is what are some terms, rates, and ideas of what to watch for in having service contracts. One of the things that you have to specify to protect yourself is you have to come up with how many hours that you want to put in a retainer contract with a client. And then you have to decide, after all those hours, like, you want to make sure that you have statements that say, this is how much per hour that I can bill after X amount of hours. So let's say you have a contract for 10 hours a month. So anything more than 10 hours a month is billable. And then the terms of when they're billable. You can also decide, if you don't use those hours, that it can roll over. That's what I do with some clients. Like AT&T rollover minutes. The unused hours can roll over to the next. I have some clients, it's just strictly hourly. And then I have other clients that we bundle a nice price because they're going to pre-buy blocks of hours per quarter. So once you get an idea of how many hours, then you have to come up with the terms. Is it monthly? Is it quarterly? What is your client willing to do? And this is where you have some dialogue up front before you actually put the contract together. Just say, hey, you know what? I want to get an idea so I can put the terms together. You know, is this okay? Is that okay? And, you know, maybe put an email, a little outline, and get some upfront agreement so this way there's no surprises or shocks. And then put the details together. And I think that'll work out. I hope that helps a little bit. And if you have any more, if you want some more detailed questions answered on that, that might be good for tech vets, for Carrie and I, which is a great topic. This is from Sandro. And he says, hey, Mike, I am a Mac consultant, member of the Apple Consultants Network. And he's in the area. I love your show and like to keep up on Windows tech because I support clients who need to run Windows on Macs. FYI, Apple just quietly dropped the MacBook price from $949 to $899 for students, teachers, and faculty members. The white polycarbonate MacBook specs remain at 2.26 gigahertz Intel Core 2 2 gigs DDR3 memory, 250 gig hard drive, a super drive, and NVIDIA GeForce. Remember, Macs may be a bit more expensive, not always though, if you compare spec to spec, but they typically last much longer than the average PC. Come with lots of great productivity software. Windows 7 works great and fast running VMware Fusion. And when you consider the long-term cost of ownership, Macs are a win. Love the show. Hearing from some of my Mac listeners, and thank you very much for checking in. Let's give a listen to this question.
Hi, Mike. This is Roger from Minneapolis, and I've been having a problem lately with some audio. I was hoping you could help me, or some of your listeners. I have a computer. I'm running an AMD 64-bit dual-core AM2 5600 processor homemade computer with 4 gigs of RAM. Got 32 gigs free and running Windows 7. When making audio CDs, I'm using CD Burner XP. I get this little bit of hissing in the burn. It's a sound. And even if I try burning on the lowest speed it will allow me to, I believe is 8x, it will still do that. I was wondering if anybody would be able to suggest other software or what I'm doing wrong in creating the audio disc. I've gone through a lot of trouble trying to select certain songs and making audio discs, and they just don't come out. So hopefully somebody can help me. Thank you. Love your show. Bye.
Thank you for the question, Roger. You did try something that I was going to recommend, which was lower the speed. You may have a problem with your drive. Now, you know, CD burners, DVD burners are so inexpensive. I mean, you can get them for like $20 or less even, I think. So you might want to try a different burner, because that's where I'm thinking. Now, have you been using the same media? It seems like this happens over and over. Is it the same batch? Try a different brand, a different media. I love CD Burner, never had a problem, but that doesn't mean, you know, it's not reacting well to you. You may need to try different software, a different media, before you try a different drive. And I think if you're having the same problem with different software, and there's some other free versions, I'll come up with one for the show notes, but I'm such a big CD Burner XP fan, but I'll find one that is good. I think if you go to portableapps.com, there's a good one in there. I'm not sure the name of it off the tip of my tongue. So go to portableapps.com, check out what they have for a standalone portable burner, and give that a try and see what happens. And if you're still having the problem, try a different drive. And then if a different drive has the problem, now remember, you could buy a drive and pop it in. And if you're still having the problem, you could always return it within 30 days. You might want to even consider going to a Best Buy and getting a drive, or a place like that where they have a full refund policy that you can take it back. So that's a great way to try out a replacement hardware. Give that a try and let me know what's happening. But it shouldn't be making the sounds, obviously, as you're trying to produce audio CDs. This email is from Araldo, and he says, thank you for being dedicated in creating podcasts. I have installed Microsoft Security Essentials on my clients' machines since it came out of beta status. In my experience, it does a good job protecting the system from viruses and bad guys. By default, the recommended action of Microsoft Security Essentials calls it is the program discovers a medium or low alert. It prompts the user and lets the user decide what to do. This is where I find that the user ignores the error or calls me freaked out from the message. According to Microsoft, the default behavior is the following. A severe alert is remove this software immediately. High alert, remove the software immediately. Medium alert alerts user of detection. Low alert alerts the user of detection. I go to the settings tab of Microsoft Security Essentials and change the default behavior for the medium and low alerts to quarantine. And the choices are recommended action, remove quarantine. Also, I have noticed for the last 10 days or so, when I install the program on PCs with a new installation of Windows, that it periodically takes up to 80 to 100% of the CPU. Looking at the task manager, the process responsible is msmpeng.exe, which is tied to Microsoft Security Essentials. This has become such a nuisance that I have to uninstall Microsoft Security Essentials and install Avira. And that resolves the high CPU usage. I wonder if some of your listeners are having the same issues. I'm a big Avira fan. I have not embraced Microsoft Security Essentials. That doesn't mean I don't like it. I just have not tried it. I have been receiving a lot of positive emails. Matter of fact, I have some others here just raving about how much they love Microsoft Security Essentials. So is anyone else having problems? You know, I'm wondering what's on your system, Araldo, that particular system that's causing it. And if he's seeing this on multiple systems, that's what I'm wondering, though. Does he have a problem with the CPU? Because remember, he removed it, put in Avira, and he's not having the problem. He's just wondering, is anybody else seeing some high CPU usage? Even a lot of people in the chat have been just saying right now they're not having any problems. This is from Shane, a Windows 7 in-place upgrade. Mike, just wanted to give you some positive feedback about Windows 7 in-place upgrades. I bought a PowerSpec B810 from Micro Center last fall. It came pre-installed with Vista Business 64-bit and a free upgrade to Windows 7. I have nothing but positive things to say about the whole upgrade experience. When I filled out my upgrade paperwork and mailed it in to Micro Center, they sent back a redemption booklet with my license key and a URL. After listening to your show, I thought I would have to download Windows 7 from this URL. I went to the URL, typed in the license key, my name and address, and it said my copy of Windows 7 would be in the mail soon. 5 days later, an official copy of Windows 7 64-bit upgrade from Vista Business was in my mailbox. Next, I carefully did a full backup of my Vista system. Good man. That's what you do. Said a prayer and put in the upgrade CD. Having listened to the Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets, I wasn't hopeful that the upgrade was going to work. I chose setup from the menu and the installer was off and running. About an hour later, it was done. All my programs were functional. I couldn't believe it. The only thing that I had to do was reinstall the driver for my network card. I am now running Windows 7 and love it. Thanks for preparing me for the worst, even though it all turned out for the best. Great show. Keep up the good work. And this is Shane. I'm really glad you sent this in. I want you to be prepared for the worst. So this way, if good happens, hey, that's great. But at least you were prepared. You do a backup. before you install or change or make any major change to your system, always back it up. Make sure you have a reliable backup. Now, he has a PS, and I'm going to read this. He says, thanks for recommending the Public Speaker podcast. I've made it a regular download. It's very good. You may want to remind your listeners about it. It's great advice for everyone, not just public speakers. And that is Lisa B. Marshall's public speaking podcast that I was promoting for you to vote on for the podcast awards. And I'm really glad someone listened and checked it out. So I'll have a link to Lisa's podcast. And she is a local Philadelphia girl. So got to, you know, give her a plug. This is from Derek. And he says, dear Mike, this is Derek, the taxi driver from Hemel Hempstead in the UK. And the reason is show number 284 and the song that you played at the end of your show. I just had to email you and say how much I enjoyed that song. Now, he's talking about the Christmas Canon, which I have to listen to several times and have now purchased from Amazon. Thanks for that, Mike. Love the version of the Christmas song. Please keep doing what you're doing. Loving the podcast. All the best for the year, Derek. Hey, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Hey, this is a link from Monty. He always sends some cool links, and this is to Windows7News.com. Now, this is a recommendation from Jorge, regular listener, and he says, hi, Mike. I subscribe to this podcast, which is an excellent one for entrepreneurs, and it's a 10-minute video, and it's helpmybusiness.com. So I'll have that in the show notes. So we've got some great tips and links here. You know what? Might be time for another voicemail question. Give a listen.
Hey, Mike, my name is Charlie. I have a twofold question. I downloaded Evernote on my Droid, which I love. It will, when I do a voice note, I can play it in my Mac. I can play it on my XP machine, but I can't play it on my 64-bit window machine. Now, I've tried various different things. I've Googled for it, but I can't get it to work. All I get is a little black line. Is there, do you know, or maybe somebody in the forums will know, how I can get this to work on a 64-bit machine? By the way, love your show. Thanks a lot. My name is Charlie, and have a nice holiday.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Now, when I listened to this, just in case there was a problem on the version for the iPhone, I tested it out, and I recorded a quick voice message on my iPhone. I synced it, and I went on to my Windows Evernote. It came right down, and I was able to play the WAV file. So, could there be a problem with the latest version for your Droid? It's possible. That's a very new device and a new implementation of Evernote. You may want to contact them and let them know that you're having a problem. Now, make sure that you are running the latest version everywhere. Make sure you've done an update and you're running the latest greatest on the Droid, and that also you're running the latest greatest on your Windows system. I am running 64-bit Windows 7, and I've had no problem playing the WAV. So I'm wondering if you are having a problem with the Droid version. Something to give a try. Maybe uninstall the app on the Droid and then reinstall it and then give it a try. And then let's see what happens. If you have any recommendations or are running into this problem and you found a solution, let me know so we can help Charlie out. This is from Gary. Here's something you might like for the Mike Tech Show. It's pod safe and it's worth sharing with your audience. And this is scottanddrew.com, and it is a pod safe music that you can put in your podcast, and another source for me for music content. Now, this is an email from Jorge, who just loves Microsoft Security Essentials. And he sent me a screenshot and says, it immediately detected the virus and prompted me to clean it. And he gave me a print screen of the history tab showing that it detected and the alert level, which was high. I've been using this on my customers' computers since the day it came out. It's intrusive only when it needs to step up to the plate and deliver results. And just showing how effective the tool is. So another endorsement. Great question here. And this is from Paul. And he says, a friend uses Outlook 2007. Her PST file is 5 gigabytes. Is the size of the PST file a problem? Oh, yes. When you hit 2 gig and greater, you're asking for troubles. Even though I know the newest versions of Outlook can handle, with their new format for the PST file, it can handle files greater than that, you're still at risk, and I don't recommend it. And he says he's worried about Outlook crashing. Yes. So you definitely want to start archiving and breaking it down into multiple 2 gig or less files. Also, she would like a better way than different folders in Outlook to sort her emails. Is there a better email client or a better way to set up Outlook 2007? Here's the key with Outlook. It's something that I discovered a long time ago, that you have to have a good way to quickly sort, index, and be able to retrieve your email, to search through the massive amounts of email that you're collecting. Archive the email into several PST files. Break it down. And if you have a good program that's going to index it, it really doesn't matter how you're going to break it down. Just get it out of the inbox. Don't leave a big inbox, because there you're just asking for troubles. Once you get that broken down into multiple folders within the PST, now go to Kopernik.com, download the free version. That will index and allow you to search not only Outlook, but everything on your system. Also, Zobni. I've talked about that. A lot of people like it. It's for Outlook only, and it will help you search. If you get a good tool that you like that can index everything in Outlook, it really doesn't matter where you put it, because you could just start typing and it's going to come up with everything that you're looking for every email that you've ever typed on that topic or that person. So definitely recommend one of those two products. The links will be in the show notes, and you will be able to confidently break down the PST file into manageable sizes that you don't have to worry about it crashing. MS Small Business Specialist in the chat recommends Windows Desktop Search 4.0. Or for that matter, Windows 7 Search. Windows 7 Search is incredible. I don't download. I stay away from the Microsoft Search. I'm not a big fan of Google Desktop. I know a lot of people like it. Give Kopernik a try. It's a real client. And once it's indexed, I'm telling you, you're going to like it. And it will only index when you're not doing anything. So give it a try. And I think you will report back that, you know what? Say, hey, Mike, thanks for recommending that. You like it. That was the final email. I actually got to everybody tonight. Here's the final voicemail question of the evening. And then I'm going to talk about a device that I purchased.
Hi, Mike. Patrick. And Springfield, Missouri. Just heard on your latest show, somebody was having trouble with remote desktop and a hardware licensing dongle. You know, if they use remote desktop with the slash console option, then it may work correctly for them, as that is supposed to work as if you were at the actual keyboard. So you just open up your usual remote desktop properties, icons properties, and the target line, put at the end of it a space, forward slash, and the, I always use all uppercase, the word console, and then try it. I suspect that hardware dongle licensing is making sure that you only use the local machine, so that you don't, you're not able to distribute that program to anybody that's remoting in. but slash console will probably work. And, of course, your suggestion, log me in, will surely work. But anyway, thanks for the show.
Patrick, excellent suggestion. I never even thought of remote desktop having an option, and to use that slash console, oh, give that a try. Excellent idea, Patrick. Thank you so much for recording that, for, you know, leaving that voicemail. The device that I purchased was to help me, something that I've been worried about is, what if I have a crash? I don't have a UPS's to back up my, to keep my system running while I'm recording a show. And I have such a great mixer, and I'm recording via FireWire. Well, what can I use to record, just quickly have a backup recording in case something goes wrong? And you know, the sound quality was very good. My mixer has multiple outputs. It's just allowed me to be able to do multiple recordings at the same time. So here's what I've done. I have another line out, and I bought this Tascam DR07. It was not that expensive, and it works on two AA batteries, and I was able to get a great discount from BSW USA online, which is where I buy a lot of my audio gear, and it just works. And this is the first podcast that I'm using this as a backup recording, and it records right to an SD card. So I figured, hey, why not give that a try and have that as a backup? The sound recording was very good quality. I figured, let's give that a try. And it's just an extra layer of protection as I'm recording the show. All right, that's it for the show tonight. Really the first show of the new year. And I want to thank everybody, you know, for sticking with me and for subscribing to the show. And if you're not subscribed, hey, and you're just hearing this for the first time, go to iTunes. I have the link every week in my show notes to just click on iTunes and you can subscribe. I have some independent music though before I wrap up, and tonight's artist is an interesting name. The group is called Craving Strange, and the song is Tonight We Die For. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Just fine. Jump back and start again. I think you're coming.
is Craving Strange and the song Tonight We Die For, and I'll have a link to their website on GarageBand.com. Before we part, if you need to repair your laptop or you know someone who is in need of a laptop repair, or maybe you want to start doing that to make some money on the side, you got to check out Steve Tribino's laptop repair videos. They're so inexpensive. They pay for themselves right away on the first repair. You can get to those videos by buying them from a link on my website, and you get an additional 10% off by using the code MTS. Now, for everybody who's been using my Amazon link, I'm going to have a couple special links for giving you on Amazon any textbooks. If you know anybody who needs a textbook, an additional 30% off. And by using my link, you're going to be able to get free 2-day shipping for 3 months using their trial of Amazon Prime. So you're going to be able to get that 2-day shipping for free. Take advantage of that. I'm going to have links in the show notes for Amazon, and I want to thank you for continuing to use my Amazon links. I really appreciate it. That's it. I will be back next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye.